conquer that first lustful thought.
Yes, sir.
Little things do matter. Little sins lead to bigger sins. A thief would not rob a bank if he'd never stolen that first dollar. In every Christian's life, there are some little sins which can ruin a home, a business, or a whole life if they're left unconfessed. The scriptural admonition that comes to us from Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15, is take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. A little sin of one sort doesn't always lead to bigger sins of the same sort. A person may think it's just a white lie. I really wouldn't even call it a lie. It's just sort of stretching the truth. Now, it's not automatic that a person who allows that in his or her life will become the town's biggest liar. But the fact that they've allowed something in their life that shouldn't be there, they have created a weakness. And our subtle enemy will make use of that weakness, and he will strike in another area where the person thinks, once again, it doesn't really matter. We are called to be faithful. Matthew chapter 25. You'll turn in your Bible to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. I want to begin reading at verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Church attendance may seem like a little thing, but faithfulness in being in the house of God can lead to holding a task in the Lord's house. Maybe teaching a Sunday school class, being elected to an office in the church, or having some other responsible position that a person is given. You see, you don't give those kind of positions, like I've even illustrated with, you don't give them to people who come once in a while, or only come Sunday mornings, just for church time. You entrust responsible positions to who? Responsible people. People who are responsible with their Christian faith and with their church attendance. Little becomes much when it's given to your church. The church budget represents a desire to share Christ in evangelism to the unsaved, locally, around our nation, and yes, as the Bible says, to the uttermost parts of the earth. There was an ingenious little boy who had promised God that he would share the profits of his lemonade stand. And so he wanted to apply 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. And when his father drove in the driveway on opening day, he was pleasantly surprised to read the sign over the boy's lemonade stand. Lemonade Incorporated, me and God, co-owners. Yes, that's why he was called an ingenious little boy. A church budget represents our desire to share Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. That's here. The church budget means that these boys and girls, and these young people as teenagers, it means that they will get to hear the gospel. It means that they will have a place to grow up in that teaches the Bible. It means that there will be able to be Vacation Bible School, a youth week, other teen activities throughout the year as they're scheduled. Yes, a church budget represents our desire to share Jesus Christ right here in our Jerusalem. There are those of you that today would not be a part of the family of God were it not for the fact that this church had a budget to which people gave, which enabled it to be open to preach and teach to you, to have a pastor who could come out into your home and sit down and answer your questions. It meant for us Christians that there's a place that we can come to fellowship, but also to hear and to learn. And though many of us have heard for many a year, we'd be foolish to think that we've heard it all, or that we've heard enough. For God always has something more for us. And so it is that a church budget means that Jerusalem has what it needs. I always used to like to say that the gospel is free, but it costs to get it out.
Yes, sir.
You know, I came in here earlier and I just threw the light switch. Somebody turned the fans on. Come colder weather, pastor will come in and he'll set the thermostat. And when the bill comes, okay, Jen can't simply call the electric company up and say, we're the church, we love Jesus. They're liable to say, well, then you let Jesus pay for the electric. You us owe us X number of dollars. And then Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's represented in our missions map. That's represented in the letters I told you about and others that are over there. They're taking a free gospel, but it costs. It costs a lot to live in a foreign country. The requirements for the cost. I've heard people say already, well, my goodness, look at that. They need $45,000, but I only need $30,000 to live. According to what country they're going to, they might need $65,000, $75,000. Well, I don't need that much to live. Yeah, but you live at home. And you know, when they go to these countries, many times, most of the time, those countries have stipulations and requirements. When our daughter went into different countries that she taught missionary children, we had to assure, we being Grace Bible Church that she was out of, she did not have an agency that sent her, we sent her, and we had to guarantee that if anything went wrong with her, we would pay for it. We had to guarantee that if there was a need for her to leave the country, we would pay for it. You see, the average person sitting in a pew doesn't understand those kind of requirements. We don't live with the necessity of visas and inoculations. Last summer, I expected to go to, Ivory Coast, and be part of a team of four men that was going to teach in a pastor's training school that was back during the big Ebola problem. And so the trip was canceled because of that Ebola epidemic that was going on. But by that time, I had already spent $350 in inoculations. Now, I can go anywhere I want. Okay? And so, I'm inoculated. But you see, Those are the kind of things that when we give to missions, we help with. You see? And that's all part of a budget. It is our partnership with God to support His work. Our partnership is with God. And that partnership with God is through His servants, as represented in the board and on the letters in the rack. And that's when we pass the offering plate. That's part of what you're giving to.
Yeah.
You know, it is a privilege to give to the things of the Lord. Your little bit counts. Your little bit may seem insignificant compared to the many ministries that may be listed in an annual budget. Your little bit may seem insignificant to all of the expenses. And I only say little bit because that's what I hear people say. Well, I can't give much. I just give a little bit. Hey, you've heard this, haven't you? Every little bit helps. A doctor much loved in his French village had retired. And the men of the town said, "We want to do something for you, doctor." And so in the town square, they brought a huge barrel. Now, disclaimer, it was a wine barrel, not an endorsement of wine. Totally against it. I'm a teetotaler. I'm for abstinence, okay? But the story's good. They brought this huge wine barrel and told the citizens that if the doctor had been appreciated, they were to bring in a pint, a quart, a gallon of their best wine and empty it into the barrel. And they had a great ceremony. And everyone was there to express their appreciation for the doctor's many years of services. Later that evening, the doctor drew out a cup of his wine and sat down to relax. Much to his surprise, it was nothing but water. And he called the mayor of the city, and immediately they began to investigate the matter, and the investigation revealed that every citizen in town had reasoned, well, my little bit won't be missed. And so everybody brought in a container of water. Just bring water and nobody will know it. When the plate goes by, just drop in a few noise-making coins. People won't know. Just you know, put $1 or $2 folded in there. Nobody will know. Some Christians don't give anything because they can't give a lot. Some Christians think that their little bit won't be missed. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. We've heard that name, haven't we? I don't know really who he was. He said, most persons would succeed in small things if they were not troubled with great ambitions. Because I can't give a lot, I don't give anything. Do you remember that Jesus Christ commended the widow for giving, but was it 2 mites? Just 2 mites, smallest coin possible. It wasn't a large amount. And yet for her, it meant a sacrifice. Because to her, it was a large amount. He who wants to do a great deal of good at one time will never do anything. Don't wait till you can do a great deal. Just do a little bit. If you waited until you could do a great deal when it comes to buying a house or a car, you might be walking or living in a tent. Because we all have payments, don't we? We pay a little bit each month towards something. The stewardship battle, that's time, talents, and treasures, your little bit will be missed. But listen, it's not what you put in the plate that matters. It's what's in your heart that prompts you to put in the plate. You say, I don't have to give. And I'm going to sound like I'm contradicting matters here. But you listen to me through. You may say, it doesn't matter. I've heard our pastor say that if you don't have any to give, you come where you don't have to pay to attend here. And he's 100% right. Did you hear me say that? He's 100% right. But Jesus Christ says, I blessed you. I blessed you with a job. I blessed you with health. I blessed you with strength. Do you buy candy bars? Okay. Do you buy soda pop? Okay, I see head shaking. No, you don't get candy bars, you don't get soda pop. Some people do. I know they do. Listen, if I probe long enough, I'm going to find something you buy that you know you don't need. Something you buy that you know you don't need. How much do you want to give to God's work? Enough to sacrifice? I don't like to refer a lot to my previous church, but we began Faith Promise Missions on the challenge that if people would just give what they spent on candy and soda and snacks and that type of stuff, that we could do Faith Promise. Now, it was 20-some years long, but eventually reached $100,000 a year. That's in addition to the regular budget. So sacrifice works. Now, I realize there's some exceptions to that. You don't want to sacrifice your ice cream. That's extreme. You may exclude baked goods. That doesn't have to be included. I'm purposely trying to make it a little lighter because I know when you talk about finances, it can be a heavy thing. But you see, you need to give. Not for what the church needs, but for your need. It's part of your walk with the Lord. It's part of your following Christ. And in that sense, it isn't the amount. It's the fact that you're giving. Giving of your... Do you know that Jesus Christ talked more about money in the Bible than any other one subject? Yeah. Now, why did he do that? He knows what's close to man's heart. People say, well, the people talk about tithe. And I've always said, whether a person tithes or not, that's between them and the Lord. Like your pastor says to our treasurer that he doesn't want to know who gives what. I had the same practice. And I didn't want to know who tithed or who didn't tithe. That's between them and the Lord. But I know what this book says.
Try it.
something else I know. I see the treasurer's reports. And I know that some people are given a lot more than just their tithe.
Yeah, right.
They are. God's blessing them for it. I don't know in what manner and in what ways, but God blesses. God blesses. You see, preaching on money and giving is not an easy thing for a pastor to do. I'm glad to be here. I'm only that sort of pastor.
Yeah.
What's that term? Emeritus? Okay. I'm the sort. Don't be Paul now. take the offering plate back before he gets out. No, we're not taking up an offering tonight. You can keep your money till Sunday, but we expect it Sunday.
Yeah.
Will it collect interest again?
I hope. If it does, we want the interest with it. Okay? And listen, I'm not in favor of playing lottery, but if you win the lottery, you need to give some of it to the Lord.
Peter's going to cover it for me.
He's going to cover it? Okay. We got it covered. Yeah, it's not an easy subject to preach on. Why isn't it easy? Why isn't it an easy subject? Because many times it's because of the resistance of the people that are hearing. Now you want to know something? I'm not pleased about this. I'm not sensing resistance to this message. I'm not sensing resistance. I haven't seen anybody volunteer to jump up and down with joy about it.
Yeah.
But I've not sensed any. You know, you can just get that feeling when you're preaching. And I'm not getting that. And so it's a significant thing when we're able to give to the work of the Lord. And I'm just peeling off these notes. You see that, how quickly I'm doing that? How many of you remember when I said about how many pages of notes I generally have? Anybody remember that? Huh? One person.
Well, there you go.
She said 7 or 8. This message actually has 17. But I just peeled off the last 4. And we gave the first part last week. Little is much. There's a gospel song. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. And so, this business of the offering plate, it's a blessing to be able to give. I'm going to close with this illustration. When we first got married, and we lived at home upstairs from where my mother, in my mother's house. That's not something that I recommend if it can be avoided. But that's where we lived. I got my paycheck. Well, it wasn't a paycheck. It was a pay envelope with cash in it. Family snack food business. I went upstairs and we sat on the bed and I laid the money out. It must have been all of what, $70, $60, $60, she said. And laid it all out and I looked and I said, look at all that. Money, money, money. What are we going to do with it all? And then she said, well, don't forget the tithe. I said, tithe? What's that? And she said, well, you give 10% to the Lord. Now watch this. I said, 10%? We can't afford that. I just went from saying, money, 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 what are we going to do with it all? To, I can't tithe 10%. And that's what a tithe is, 10%. You can regularly give 5%, but that's not a tithe. A tithe is 10%. But nevertheless, and that's when we began. You ladies can have a big influence in your home. Because you know the many needs that are there, probably more so than us men do. And you can be a big help to your husbands to follow the Lord by saying, I'll do what I can to trim here or there, you see. And listen, if I ever had a problem with giving, what would be the first thing that I could do? Now say it. what would be the first thing? Yeah, I would just cut back on how much I eat. So that's what I mean when I say we're not really serious that we can't give. We can give. Now, obviously I've been able to work it out that I can give and eat. I purposely throw in some things like that because it can be a heavy subject. But we say here at this church, and we're proud of it, but we're not supposed to be proud. We say, we preach the whole book.
That's right.
The whole book, right?
Right.
And that includes the matter of giving. Father in heaven, we need you to take your word and work it in our hearts. Surely I, as a man, cannot, but your spirit can. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take prayer requests. Ashley, do you have an update on, what's his first name? Yeah, Spencer.
He is on prayer.